From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Holly Jolly Hollister.
I'm Tom O. Tannenbaum Braun.
I'm Sean Slaybells Birch.
And this is D-Mobile Tech, episode 104, Lasers We Have Seen on High.
The D-Mobile Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange Homegrown Hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com.
And by Pants, walking together arm in arm toward a brighter, more harmonious tomorrow, on the World Wide Web at pantscouncil.org.
Tom, podcaster, you listener, you like Deemable, you subscribe iTunes, subscribe Stitcher, leave big rating, 5 stars, say nice things, make Tom big happy, make Tom beat chest and howl at moon like after a mammoth hunt. Ugh!
Hey, listeners, you can help us decide what news stories we talk about on the episode. Visit our Reddit page and submit stories you think we should cover and vote other stories up or down. Mm-hmm. Just go to dmobile.com/Reddit. Now, let's take a look at this week's rundown. Are your Christmas decorations sufficiently over the top this year? Well, apparently, if you're not blinding low-flying planes, you really aren't trying.
Oh.
In mid-November, the crew of a Coast Guard C-130 plane over Sacramento radioed that it had been blinded by a laser light, a distressingly common prank that has some dangerous consequences for pilots. Mm-hmm. However, when Sacramento police tracked down the source of the laser, it was not a prankster, but a home Christmas light display.
What?
NBC Los Angeles reports that a Christmas light display projector called the Star Shower was the culprit. The Star Shower uses hundreds of pinpoint laser lights to simulate a surface covered with lights. Mm. It does come with a warning to point it only at solid surfaces, not at the sky, and not use it within 10 miles of an airport. However, it appears that it's easy for someone attempting to project it up onto the wall of their home to allow the projector to accidentally beam lights into the sky and into the cockpit of passing planes.
Yeah.
Homeowners using this product are advised to exercise caution. I just call this the lazy lights.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I've seen this.
There's a big display on the west side of Jacksonville called Christmas in Crystal Springs. And the next door neighbor, like, I imagine living next to a huge light display. You got to feel like, why even bother?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And his neighbor, like, should be applauded for not even bothering. He just put up that laser projector. I'm like, yep, good job.
I guess it had never occurred to me, though, that that's lasers. Like, yep. I just thought, oh, projector.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's lasers.
Yeah, so they keep on going. You got to be careful.
Yeah, wow. You know, I feel like now, knowing this, like, remember those magnetic ball things that you could play with that are really cool?
And then buckyballs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. buckyballs. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, you know what? People are swallowing them and dying, so we're outlawing them.
Yep.
I feel like you probably need to jump on these laser projectors.
It probably will.
Because this
is
going to be the same story.
They'll probably be gone next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then you'll be the lazy guy who bought it early.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
They should also outlaw the giant inflatable snowmen.
Just because.
They're just tacky.
They're terrible.
That's all.
Don't do it.
I don't want them.
No particular reason. I did see a Star Wars display today, though, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I forget. It was like, it was C-3PO and R2-D2, and there was one that didn't make any sense.
Are they like in
remember.
Santa hats or something?
Yeah, they definitely had Santa Claus hats on. It was very strange.
Was it like the Emperor was there as well?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Well, I did see at Target, they do have an inflatable Darth Vader.
Yeah.
But for some reason, at our Target, his cape is over his head.
What?
So Amber texted me a picture. It's like, look, Darth Vader's playing peekaboo. Oh, he has a gift in his hand. That was what was weird. I was like, I don't want a Christmas gift from Darth Vader.
No.
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. It's cool. I appreciate the thought. But Darth, I'm good. You know?
Hey, well, speaking
he's probably going to kill you.
Speaking of gifts, you guys will remember that a couple episodes ago we had longtime listener Artis on to talk about his experience using Google's Project Fi service.
I don't remember that.
He doesn't actually listen to the show if he's not on it.
I don't think I was here.
Yeah, no, you weren't here, Sean, but we did.
Yeah, he didn't listen to the show.
We had Artis on.
Don't know what that is.
He's got Project Fi, which is Google's cell service. Borrows off of a Sprint and AT&T, or no, I'm making that up.
Yeah, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. No, is that right?
Sprint,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Sprint and AT&T, or Verizon and AT&T, GSM and CDMA, I remember that.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, Artis let me know last week that Google had sent him an interesting gift in the mail for his participation in Project Fi. He got a Lego kit from Google that could be assembled into a charging stand for his Nexus device.
Oh, that's freaking cool.
Yeah. And The Verge actually reports that a lot of Project Fi subscribers have been reporting receiving these kind of kits, and they come with a note that says, thank you for your support. Let's build on this. See what they did there.
I see what you did there.
So they don't know if it's something that's going out to every Project Fi subscriber. So I guess if you're a Project Fi subscriber and you didn't get one, let us know, because we're interested to hear if it's as... You know, is this the most Google thing ever, or is that just me? Like, to give all of your customers a Lego kit. Google.
I think what happened is Google was like, we want to build a display stand for people, but we're not quite ready, so we're just going to release it in beta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, let's just send out Legos.
I think the first Google smart car was actually a Lego car. And
yeah.
They never showed that one.
That's a fact. Don't look it up.
It's
a fact. Just don't look it up.
I believe also the Chromecast, if you open it up, it's Legos.
Legos. Yep. That's true, too.
There's no components in there or anything. It's just Legos.
Chromebook is also Legos.
Yep.
This
is all true. Don't look it up.
Don't even bother looking it up. It's all true.
That's what we should do every single episode. Yep. This is all true. Don't look it up.
Don't research it.
All right. Let's move on a little bit. I have some news. It seems like the giant tablet arms race has officially begun. Apple, as many of you know, has released the 12.9-inch iPad Pro to compete with Microsoft's Surface Pro, which is a measly 12.3 inches.
Weak.
Yeah, not good. So, you know, they're the winner, right?
Obviously.
Well, apparently not even close.
Oh.
Samsung has jumped into the game with the Samsung Galaxy View, a tablet with a massive 18.5-inch screen.
Woo!
Yeah, that's giant.
That's bigger than my laptop.
The only problem is no one knows quite what to do with it. It's kind of huge. In an Engadget piece entitled, I Just Don't Understand Why Samsung's Galaxy View Exists, tech writer Nathan Ingram says that because it's a giant tablet, you need to be close to get your videos playing, but because it's so giant, you naturally want to be a little farther away than your arms reach.
Yeah.
Samsung seems to want to position the tablet as a media playing device. But if this is a portable TV, it's one without a remote, which is nice.
Yeah.
It's going to cost $599, and that's not a bad price for such a giant tablet, but it's very pricey for a small flat screen.
Yeah.
If you're looking at it that way, you know, when your screen is over 18 inches, you are definitely getting into flat screen territory.
Sure.
The question is, where does this tablet, giant tablet madness end? Are we on the road to even bigger and more ridiculously sized tablets for the next few years? Are you going to be carrying around a flat screen TV basically with you? Like a 42
in your laptop
inch?
Bag? Yeah. Well, it's not even a laptop bag anymore.
What do you guys think?
Go ahead.
What's the end game here? Are we going to, like, you could have, like, body sized tablets, you know? Maybe they could check your health. You lie on and do like snow angels or something. You dance on it. You dance on the tablet. It'll be like Dance Dance Revolution on your tablet.
In my sci-fi dreams, I think, you know, they could be used all over the place. Mm-hmm. But in reality, I don't really. Yeah, I feel the same way that he does. Like, it's just too big to be functional.
I mean,
in that size,
I felt that way when I saw the Apple announcement about the iPad Pro.
Really?
Because
you thought it was just too big?
Yeah, because they like the video that they had. It was somebody watching a movie on it, and I was like, no, my arms would be really tired if I tried to watch
really
anything.
Quick,
and this is like 6 inches bigger than that.
I think, you know, when I bought my laptop, I was kind of disappointed that the 17-inch MacBook Pro wasn't around anymore. So I ended up getting the 15-inch. There's occasionally times where I'm like, wow, I'd really like to have a 17-inch. But for the most part, I'm fine.
But it's a laptop, though.
And it's a laptop. I can't imagine an 18-inch tablet. That seems like it's a dedicated device that goes on a wall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though it's not the size. Like, my smallest TV in my house is 30 inches, but still, like, it's a little too big.
Yeah, it seems like it should have a stand.
Yeah.
And I think the point that Nathan Ingram, I guess, made, you know, like, okay, 18 inches, like, you're starting to get to where you want to be away from that screen a little bit. It's so big. And so, yeah, you almost want, like, a remote device, like some sort of remote control.
Or
you can control it remotely.
Or an app on your smartphone. I mean, that would work,
I guess.
Too.
But I mean, I don't want to have to buy another device to operate my giant tablet device.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, presumably you have a smartphone, but I'm saying you shouldn't be required to.
Do you think it's just because they want to have the biggest tablet so they can say we have the biggest tablet?
Yes. Yeah.
That's
yes.
really...
I think that's it.
Is that? I always wonder, like, does that really help your brand? I mean, does that bring people to you?
You know, like the whole phablet thing, like the phone tablet, people were like, this is ridiculous, like, it looks like you're holding, you know, whatever to your ear, and then, like, everybody got in on it, and then now we have the, you know, the 6S, even Apple's doing it.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I mean, I will say that, you know, when the convertible tablets came out where they could, you know, unplug from the keyboard, I was like, that's stupid. Why not just have a external keyboard with a tablet? But now I like them. They're kind of nice. So I could see the larger size. Like, I would love if my screen on my Mac would just come off, or if I could tent it and turn it all the way around. There's so many times where I'd love to do that. But yeah, that's just, even that's a little too big. But I do wonder if it'll come to a point where everybody's just using a tablet, you know? Yeah. So an 18-inch laptop is not crazy. It's that's still pretty big.
It's big.
15-inch is kind of the standard that everyone's at. Yeah. Like, when I was working on computers, I just kept a stack of 15-inch screens because when the screen was broken, it was probably a 15-inch. If not, it was a 17-inch. So 18-inch, even for a laptop, is kind of big.
I think it would be great if they released this as a phablet, and this was just a phone.
Okay. Making prediction here. You guys know Zoolander 2 is coming out, right?
That's right.
Okay. So in the original movie, remember they had the tiny flip phones?
Yeah.
Okay, so I predict that since the trend is now for the bigger and bigger phones, there's going to be a Samsung Galaxy View as someone's phone.
I hope so.
I hope that Samsung pays for that product placement. And if they don't, I hope that they still do it anyways. That'd be pretty great. All right, well, speaking of toys, I guess is a good transition. We'll go with that.
Yeah,
sure.
A warning to drone enthusiasts. Get in the way of police, and they may take away your toys. According to a report by Ars Technica, Martin Sheldon of Los Angeles was caught after allegedly buzzing a police helicopter with his drone over Sunset Boulevard. He was charged with interfering with a police investigation. He has now been sentenced, in addition to community service and probation, which that's not too bad. At least he didn't go to jail. Sheldon must turn over his drone and is banned from owning or operating a remote-controlled airplane, helicopter, or drone for a period of 3 years.
Oh, snap.
Boom, boom, ba-doom.
At least they didn't say RC cars. Like,
That'd be terrible. Like, you can't even go to Radio Shack's gone.
Doesn't exist.
Can't even get a Radio Shack car because they don't exist.
Now, I was gone, I think, for the last episode. No, it was the episode before.
We don't even know anymore.
Any drone news then? Has it been a little while since we've had some drone news?
I think it has been.
I don't know. Yeah. Any drones?
Drones? No. Drones? I can't think of anything major.
Yeah, we love our drones here.
We do love drones.
Nobody's attached any really significant weaponry to drones recently.
Not recently, yeah.
Okay, I'm glad. That's good.
I keep forgetting to bring my drone in. I have a little quadcopter. It's not really a drone. I mean, it has no autonomy, but it is a quadcopter.
Well, if you were Martin Sheldon of Los Angeles, you would not be able to operate it.
Wouldn't matter. It doesn't say quadcopter, though.
Yeah, no, it's
airplane, helicopter, or drone.
I feel like this judge is not going to really make that distinction.
I would love if they were like, "Hey, this is completely controlled by him."
Quadcopter, Your Honor.
It's not a helicopter, sir. I'm pretty sure he means any remote controlled flying anything.
Yeah. I mean, this is a good reminder. I don't know the situation. It doesn't really spell it out in this article, from what I can tell. I mean, I don't know if he was intentionally trying to get up by the police chopper.
What happened here is he broke Will Wheaton's rule.
Yeah.
And we've never said the rule on our show. I think we'll go ahead and not say it, but you can look it up if you don't know it.
Yeah.
It's Will Wheaton's rule. Just Google search
that. But I'm
wondering,
was it an accidental thing, or, you know, was he really like, hey, I'm going to get up by that police helicopter with my drone?
I'm going to make a stereotype here about people from Los Angeles and say that I assume he's probably paparazzi, and that's why he was up by a police helicopter to get some footage.
And Sunset Boulevard.
Yep.
Good point.
Yep.
Good point.
Here come the emails.
That's fine. You know, if you're in Los Angeles and you're offended by this, or if you're Martin Sheldon and you're listening to this and you're offended by this.
Hi, Martin.
Let us know.
But thank you for listening.
Thanks.
Feedback at deemable.com.
All right.
All right. Let's move on to something a little more serious, guys.
Uh-oh.
Another major data breach is in the news lately. Maybe you've heard of it. In November, high-tech toy maker VTech reported that hackers had gotten into its servers and stole the personal information of over 10 million users, half of whom were children. Oh. The rest are parents.
And the rest are parents, yeah.
The Gizmodo reports...
of the children.
Yes. Gizmodo reports that the data includes first names, genders, and birthdays of over 6 million children. And if that wasn't scary enough, the cache of leaked data also contains 190 gigabytes of photos from VTech's KidConnect service, most likely containing headshots of kids who use the video chat service to talk with their parents. The hack has been extremely damaging to VTech, which has suspended all of their stock on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange after word got out that they had been transmitting customer data completely unencrypted.
Unencrypted.
Yeah, gotta love when you find out about that. Okay, so this hits a little bit home for me because, Amber, if you're listening to the podcast, turn it off now because I'm going to talk about Zoe's Christmas present. We have a couple of VTech products under the Christmas tree for Zoe this year.
Great.
A camera and a watch. Mm-hmm. The watch also has a camera built into it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw them, and honestly, I always look at these kid toys, and they're usually crap. You know, they're like HD, and it's like barely 640 by 3.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
But actually, it is pretty low resolution, but the video quality is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen a lot of videos online that customers actually posted, and I was like, wow, this is cool.
Hmm.
So I was like, I gave my full, you know, Deemable Tech endorsement for these to be bought.
Mm-hmm.
We got a great deal on them. I wish we had waited because we probably would have got a better deal.
Yeah.
I imagine the price is going to go down.
Exactly.
But anyways, so, you know, I told my wife, I was like, don't panic. You know, this is good that we found out about it before Zoe opened it on Christmas Day, because we can use this information to be smart.
Yeah.
We're not going to let her sign up for the video chat service or sign into the Kid Connect service.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. I mean, not until VTech shows that they have gotten this fixed.
Yeah.
Because this is ridiculous that it was unencrypted. I mean, in this day and age, personal information.
It's insane.
The only unencrypted website should be a site that has no personal information on it. Oh, period.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no good reason that any website should be unencrypted unless it is just a forward-facing website, like a brochure website.
Oh my gosh, to be transferring kid information, like information about minors, unencrypted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and a lot of the products that VTech does are camera-based stuff. You know, like there's a lot of stuff that has pictures of kids, and that, oh, come on. Mm. That's just ridiculous. So, you know, hopefully they'll learn their lesson, they'll get this fixed, and go from there. And
assuming they stick around, I mean, this is not good. This is the kind of thing that's going to demand investigations and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, but, you know, until then, you know, just don't use it online. And for folks that panic on every, you know, whenever stuff happens like this, you don't have to be that concerned about it. You just have to be aware of when your data is being shared, you know, how is it being transmitted? Pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a website that you go to on VTech to sign up for this service. When you sign up for it, notice, is it encrypted? You'll see that lock in the top left corner of the site. I know our audience on this show knows that, but our audience for Ask Deemable Tech might not. You know, look for that lock, look for that HTTPS, and make sure that it is secure.
Yep.
I'm off my soapbox.
All right.
I'm just glad we found out about it before Zoe got it, and we
because
I probably would have panicked and been like, "Ah, crash!
Burn it, hammer it, smash it!"
Yeah. Yep. All right.
Well, our final story concerns Bitcoin.
Ooh, Bitcoin.
This has been a big story for the past couple of weeks. If you follow this kind of stuff,
do you have any Bitcoin?
Sorry, I do not have any Bitcoin.
Sean,
no.
Do you have any Bitcoin?
No,
I don't have any Bitcoin
anymore.
We
should buy some Bitcoin.
Yeah, maybe
like a Deemable Tech thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't really buy a Bitcoin because it actually is a lot of money, but we could buy like an 18th of a Bitcoin.
18th of a Bitcoin.
Well, you know, Bitcoin, it kind of fascinates people for two different reasons.
Mm.
You know, one, you've got this idea of having digital money, like this cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
But the second reason has nothing to do with like the technology. It's because the identity of the person who invented Bitcoin is actually unknown.
Hmm.
So the inventor, as far as we know, was known on the online listservs where this the whole idea was, you know, originally pitched as Satoshi Nakamoto.
Right.
But this is undoubtedly just an alias. And you guys may remember that last year there was a big to-do because Newsweek published this huge investigation claiming that a man in California named Dorian Nakamoto was actually Satoshi Nakamoto.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and then this was later proven to be pretty much bogus.
Mm.
Well, this month the media is at it again. Both Wired and Gizmodo did independent investigation and then published simultaneous stories claiming that an Australian entrepreneur named Craig Wright, in partnership with a Florida man named Dave Kleiman,
was Florida.
Yeah.
Hey.
Was probably the secretive inventor of Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto. And the stories that they had come up with were based on documents that were being leaked to them by some sort of anonymous source or hacker. And these documents included unsent emails in which Craig Wright was admitting to being Nakamoto. So this seemed extremely credible. However, since the media has been burnt by false leads about this kind of story before, both outlets kind of hedged their bets, and Wired actually wrote, either Craig Wright invented Bitcoin, or he's a brilliant hoaxer who very badly wants us to believe he did.
Yeah.
Well, that turns out to be a smart thing to have said, because things really quickly got weird. The day after the stories were published, the Australian Federal Police raided Wright's home and office, according to The Guardian, executing a warrant on tax issues, and they said it was unrelated to the Bitcoin story.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I figured it was just unreported income that he got from doing Bitcoin.
And since then, Wired reports, more holes have appeared in the story, casting doubt on whether or not Craig Wright really has two PhDs, which is one of the things he claims, or whether his company, in fact, owns one of the world's most powerful privately owned supercomputers, which is another thing he claims, or his leaked emails claim. Wright does, however, appear to own millions in Bitcoin, which is a point in the favor that's hard to explain away, because Satoshi Nakamoto, the inventor of Bitcoin, would own a huge amount of Bitcoin.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still sitting out there. You can actually see it in a sense. It's not been used. There's a post on an online listserv, supposedly from Satoshi Nakamoto, that appeared the day after this story was released. It was posted from one of the email addresses he used to use back when he was on these listservs. And it denied that Craig Wright was him. But there's no way to verify that that wasn't somebody spoofing that old email address.
Yeah. Right, of course.
The full story is still very much unfolding. And it's like, I'm skimming the surface here. Like, this is a really elaborate, involved story. It may involve an extortion scheme or possibly Craig Wright pretending to extort himself.
Oh, great.
Yeah, either are possible. Either way, we're going to have links on our website if you really want to dig deep into the madness, because this is a crazy story and it's not really something we can easily cover in a podcast, to be honest. But I wanted to put that out there for you.
To clarify on what you were saying before, The Guardian does say, this matter is, and this is a quote from the Australian Federal Police, this matter is unrelated to recent media reporting regarding the digital currency Bitcoin.
Oh, okay.
So they're not saying it isn't necessarily about the Bitcoin.
It's just that this isn't related to the fact
that the media just reported about it. So, and that was like, oh, they're really confirming anything? That seems unlike the police. They're like, we can either confirm nor deny. So it could be that he has unclaimed income, probably capital gains from the property. But yeah, that's one thing I've always wondered is like, you know, who's reporting this on their tax return?
You know,
oh, I made $4 million farming Bitcoin. Or what's it called? Is it farming it or mining it?
Mining it.
Yeah,
they
going back to my first question, I did mine Bitcoin for like a week. And I think I got like 0.002 or some tiny amount.
Yeah, wow.
And I was like, oh, this is costing me more in electricity than I'm getting because I had a crappy computer back then.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem now is the longer Bitcoin exists, basically, the harder it gets to mine, quote-unquote.
Right.
And so if you first start out, you could have taken your crappy computer and mined a lot of Bitcoin.
Yeah, yeah.
But now you need supercomputers, which is one of the reasons this guy supposedly had a supercomputer going.
Yep. Yeah, just one of the many times that I lost out on making a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because I did know about Bitcoin before it got popular. And Yep, that's unfortunate.
Oh, well.
Yeah. And Bitcoin to me is like, I don't have a huge amount of interest in cryptocurrency, but man, this whole Satoshi Nakamoto thing has just been so crazy from the
beginning. Tons of fun, yeah.
Yeah,
really,
like,
really wild.
Every time they think they've found him, it's always some weird, wild story, and it's not him, but it's always bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, who knows? I'm kind of starting to think, like, the real guy's, like, dead, because who would sit on, like, I don't remember how much it's worth, but he supposedly has, you know, like, he's sitting on a stash of tens of millions of dollars, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what his Bitcoin stash is worth.
That guy or gal.
Or gal.
True.
Or it could be a consortium of people. Like, we don't know that it's one person.
Yep.
And as somebody on the internet pointed out, maybe it's an AI that is waiting until it's sort of perfected itself to put its plan into operation. I like
I heard they were talking about it on Marketplace. This is weird. This is very Inception. We're a podcast talking about a radio show talking about a news article. but anyways, Marketplace was talking about it. And it's really odd that Satoshi is not coming out because, you know, he is very respected. I mean, like, I mean, Bitcoin, say what you will about its use and, you know, it being used for drugs and illegal activities or whatever. It is a very amazing piece of software.
Yeah, the technology is genius.
And he would be a very famous person and all the benefits of that and downfalls
and
too. But I mean, like, Mark Zuckerberg is famous because he made Facebook. You know, like the guy who did Bitcoin is really freaking cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's really interesting that he just doesn't want that, apparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It reminds me of that game on iPhone. Remember the guy pulled it and he was making a lot of money?
Oh, yeah.
Flappy Bird.
Flappy Bird.
Yeah.
Flappy Bird.
I still have Flappy Bird.
Maybe the Flappy Bird guy made Bitcoin.
It's the same guy.
Maybe it's the same guy. All right. Well, on that note, let's close it out. All right, guys. Well, this is going to be – sorry for the gap there. Thanksgiving holiday. We didn't say anything that we were going to take a break, but we did. And you know, letting us have a break. I appreciate it. You are our bosses, so you know. Anytime
what?
You let give us some time, yeah, they are. They are our bosses.
Oh man,
yeah.
Can we have a raise?
No, not right now.
Listeners, if we can have a raise, email us.
And you know, you can always leave a review on iTunes. that would work.
That's true.
But yeah, so it's actually going to be our last show before the holidays. Mm-hmm. We might get one in before the end of the year.
Yeah,
maybe. Could happen.
So maybe after the Christmas, before the...
We're not going to promise anything.
Nah. If nothing else, we'll see you in 2016.
That's right.
Thanks so much, guys. I hope you do have a wonderful 2015 the rest of this year. And of course, as always, if you have a suggestion or just have a comment for the show, we'd love to hear your comments. Give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 1-888-972-9868, or you can email us at feedback@demable.com.
Don't forget to help us decide what stories we talk about on the show. Go to our subreddit page, submit a story, vote on the stories up or down, demable.com/reddit. You know the drill.
I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Demable Tech.
This is all true. Don't look it up.
Don't even bother looking it up. It's all true.
That's what we should do every single episode. Yep. This is all true. Don't look it up.
Don't research it.
All right. Let's move on a little bit. It seems like the giant tablet race has officially...
Yes. Yes. I agree with whatever that was. can you play that back?
No.
I know we got that on tape.
The best part was I didn't see your mouth because you were like behind the microphone.
Yep.
I just thought, so I wasn't sure you had done that. I thought Tom had done it.
No.
Let me take that in. I think that's perfect.
That was good. That was good. Okay. All right. That was wonderful. Okay.
This has been a production of WJCT Public Broadcasting. To find out more, visit us online at wjct.org.